Airflow problems that masquerade as charge problems, the single most expensive misdiagnosis in cooling, adding refrigerant to a system that's actually starved for airflow. Why low airflow mimics low charge on the gauges, how to tell them apart in 5 minutes, and why getting it wrong floods the compressor. From the launch my HVAC knowledge base, what it is. A tech hooks up to a system that's cooling poorly, sees low suction pressure, and reaches for a jug of refrigerant. Sometimes that's right, but a huge fraction of low on gas calls are actually low airflow across the indoor coil, and adding refrigerant to an airflow problem is one of the worst things you can do. You'll temporarily mask the symptom, overcharge the system, and set up a compressor flood back the moment airflow is restored. Someone changes the filter, you clean the coil. The fix becomes the next failure. This deserves its own diagnostic because the trap is so common and so costly. Low airflow and low charge both drop suction pressure, so the gauge alone can't tell them apart. The difference shows up the instant you add a second and third measurement, and it's worth building the reflex to always check airflow before you ever blame the charge. How it works: the evaporator boils refrigerant using heat from the air crossing it. That requires enough warm air moving through the coil at the right rate. Cut the airflow and you starve the coil of heat, not refrigerant. But the gauge sees the same thing it sees with low charge, a colder coil and lower suction pressure, because less heat is being absorbed to boil the refrigerant. Here's the key difference in fingerprints. Low charge starves the coil of refrigerant. The little bit that's there boils off completely and then some, so the suction line leaves the coil hot to superheat is high. Subcooling is low, no liquid stacking. Low airflow starves the coil of heat. There's plenty of refrigerant, but not enough air to boil it, so liquid hangs around in the coil and the suction line leaves cold to superheat is LOW and the coil tends to ice. The air split goes high, the limited air that does pass dwells on the cold coil and gets very cold, and static pressure is high, something's restricting the air. So, low suction plus high superheat equals think charge slash restriction. Low suction plus low superheat equals think airflow slash load. That one cross-check breaks the tie. In the field, build this into a reflex, check airflow before charge. Every time, pull and inspect the filter. A loaded filter is the number one airflow killer. A black, packed filter explains low suction all by itself. Change it and reread before touching gauges. Look at the indoor coil. A coil fouled on the entering side, dust, pet hair. Biofilm chokes airflow even with a clean filter. So does a partially iced coil, and ice is often the result of the airflow problem. Then it makes it worse. Read superheat, not just suction. This is the tell. Low superheat with low suction equals airflow slash low. The coil is flooded with refrigerant it can't boil. High superheat with low suction equals charge or restriction. Reading superheat instead of staring at the suction gauge is what separates the diagnosis. Read the air split and feel the air volume. A weak puff at the supply registers. A high temperature split air over the coil too long. And obvious low air volume all point at airflow. Note: a low split can also mean low airflow if the coil is iced slash flooded. Read it together with superheat and the physical air volume. Measure static pressure if you have the tool. High total external static pressure confirms an airflow restriction. Undersized slash dirty ducts, closed dampers, crushed flex, a too restrictive filter, or a coil that's plugged. High static equals the air can't move, regardless of charge. Check blower operation and speed. Wrong tap on a PSC. A slipping belt on a belt drive, a failing ECM, a blower wheel packed with dirt, or a motor not coming up to speed all reduce CFM. A blower moving little air looks exactly like low charge on the suction gauge. Only after airflow is confirmed good do you evaluate charge by superheat slash subcooling. If airflow checks out and superheat is genuinely high with low subcool, now a low charge conclusion is earned. Normal values and targets. Orientation only R410 a cooling. Defer to nameplate slash conditions. Airflow target, roughly 350 to 450 CFM per ton, around 400 CFM per ton typical for cooling. Well below that range equals an airflow deficit that mimics low charge. Superheat, the tiebreaker. High 20 to 40 degrees plus with low suction equals charge slash restriction. Low single digits or flooding with low suction equals airflow slash load. Air split, about 16 to 22 degrees at typical humidity on a healthy system. A split running high 25 degrees plus with weak air volume points at low airflow. Judge alongside superheat. Total external static pressure. Many residential systems are rated around about 0.5 WC measured static, well above the equipment's rating means a restriction. See the static pressure article for method. Suction drops with both faults, which is exactly why it can't decide the diagnosis by itself. Common faults and what they mean. Low suction plus LOW superheat plus iced slash cold coil plus weak air volume. Airflow problem. Find the restriction filter, coil, duct, blower. Do not add refrigerant. Low suction plus high superheat plus low subcool. Genuine low charge after airflow confirmed good. Find the leak. Charge to target. Coil freezing up. Can be either low airflow, low superheat, or low charge, high superheat. Superheat tells you which. Adding gas to an airflow caused freeze up, overcharges, and floods. High static pressure plus low suction. Airflow restriction confirmed by the manometer. Charge is likely fine. System low on gas every summer. Gets topped off. Ices anyway. Classic misserved airflow problem. Chronic dirty coil slash filter slash duct being treated as a leak. Read superheat and check airflow. Flood back slash liquid slugging after a coil cleaning or filter change. A system that was overcharged to compensate for an airflow restriction. Restoring airflow unmask the overcharge. Recover to target. Tech tips and gotchas. Superheat is the lie detector. Suction pressure can't tell airflow from charge. Superheat can. Make what's the superheat? Your reflex before how much gas does it need. Check airflow first. Every cooling call. Filter, coil, blower, ducts. It's faster than recovering and reweighing a charge. And it stops you from creating an overcharge. Adding refrigerant to an airflow problem is a double failure. You don't fix the complaint. And you set up a floodback for the next person who restores airflow. The masked overcharge becomes a dead compressor. A frozen coil is ambiguous until you read superheat. Don't assume iced equals low charge. Low airflow ices coils too, with the opposite superheat. The treatment is opposite, so get it right. Static pressure is the objective airflow proof. If you carry a manometer, a high static reading ends the argument. The air can't move, so the charge isn't the problem. The customer's history hints at it. Tops off every year and still freezes is an airflow slash leak story, not a just needs gas story. Believe the pattern and check airflow. Safety slash code notes. A coil iced from low airflow can slug the compressor with liquid when it thaws. Shut it down and let it clear rather than running it iced for more readings. Don't add refrigerant, you'll just have to recover. Over slash undercharging and topping off chronic problems are bad practice and an EPA concern. Recover per EPA 608 if you need to remove a masked overcharge. Live panel and pressurized system safety as usual. Rated tools, eye protection, PPE.